If you notice after the title Psalm 90, most of us would think, oh, another psalm by David, right? Yes, David wrote most of the psalms, many of them without his name, but still the obviously by David. But this one says not David, Moses. What do you know about Moses? The babe that was put into a little basket in the River Nile and saved by the princess, became a royal prince, and then he thought he was going to be a savior, and then he became a refugee, and then he spent the next 40 years until he was 80. Where? In the wilderness. And then God called him an unwilling, reluctant servant of God. But once he realized that the honor of being called to serve is inestimable. If God should call any of you to serve him, don't be like Moses beginning. He says, no, Lord, I can't talk. I can't do this. And nobody knows who I am. So it is. Nobody knows who you are. But if God knows you and calls you, what are you doing with your life? Moses says, thou, Lord, has been our dwelling place. Verse 1. In all generations. Maybe we read this responsively right through and then I will begin to speak from it. Alright, verse 2. Together, before the mountains were brought forth, ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years are in thy sight, but as yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass that grows up. In the morning it flourisheth and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as the tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and the glory unto their children. Together the last verse, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Amen. Let us pray again. Lord Almighty, the giver and author of Holy Scripture, speak to thy people through the voice of thy servant Moses, that we may wake up and recognize it is the voice of God and realize the lateness of the hour. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We need holy wisdom. Dear friends, without that holy wisdom, we perish. Verse 1, Moses says to us, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. What do you mean by dwelling place? You heard the saying, no place like home. After this service, after you finished your lunch, all of us go home. tonight, after the evening service, by the way, there is an evening service in Pandan. If you do not know, I'm informing you that the Lord's Day does not end at 1 o'clock p.m. If you are the Lord's people, you're welcome, because there are not many places you can find God's people worshipping at 6 p.m. Come along. Oh, my friends, we got to wake up. Thou hast been our dwelling place, meaning to say what? God is our home. After this, you go home. All of us know where to go home. For that is the place of security. And on earth, we all have a home. How sad it is for anyone who says, I have no home. And yet there are some people, you read in Straits Times from time to time, there are some people who live in the void decks of HDB flats. That's all the home they have, in a public place. And some hide in the bushes and hide in the forests. How sad it is. We all go home. But no matter what kind of home, and you know, Moses wrote in the context of a tent living. Have you ever lived in tents? To those who are scouts and young people, going in a tent camping life for a week, it's great fun, isn't it? Oh yes, the change itself is fun. But let me tell you, tent living is a great burden and tedium. Think of every human need, daily routines in a tent. Your three meals, your changing, your washing. Where do you get the water from? Where do you store your clothes afterwards? How do you sleep at night? Tent life is a picture of earth life. Don't think that earth is so wonderful. Oh yes, so many people say, oh, America is so good, let's emigrate, emigrate. Do you know that emigration is not the answer? There are Americans who emigrate to Singapore. And they say, Singapore is so good, you can go out walking at night, you don't get mugged. But you go to America, I'm told, you don't try to go out in New York, you get killed. So where is safety? Where is home? Verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our home in all generations. There is no better commentator on life, the reality of life. The reality of life is not in places of entertainment, least of all in Orchard Road. The reality of life is to go to the ICU unit in the General Hospital. Better still, to the mortuary. Better still, to Choa Chu Kang Cemetery. There you see the reality of life. Not in Orchard Road. No. Moses says, Lord, you only are our home. He has led the people 40 years. Before that, he lived some time also in a nomadic life. And as I say, it is a tedium. Very trying and uncomfortable. Then he writes this psalm. After his experience of leading the people, you know how many people? I say he is the greatest human leader of men ever. One man leading 2 million. And every day he will receive reports or see with his own eyes death of 50 to 70 people every day. So what is home? Where is home? This world is but a passing scene, very temporary. And unless and until you have a assured home, not here in Singapore, nor in America, nor in Australia, or anywhere else, until you have a permanent, unchanging, eternal home, you are homeless. Yes. How sad it is to be homeless. So, Moses opens this wonderful psalm by saying, Lord, if you do not know the Lord, I plead with you today. The greatest need in your life is not to make more money, to earn a living, which is necessary. But, like I say in this booklet, the greatest need is to ensure that your soul has a permanent home. After your body decays in this earth, where does your soul go to? Can you say, Lord, I have a home in you? Verse 1, please note. So I want to address this question to all our friends here coming to this church. If after coming 1, 2, 3, 4 years and you still go home without knowing your permanent home, I say you have wasted your time. How can that message escape you? Except that you shut yourself from that message and say, I don't care, I just come here for routine. I say, nothing happens by routine that is good. All right. Verse 1 again. Lord, I say, make sure today, please, do you have the Lord as your dwelling place, your permanent home, the place you know you will go to, and you will have eternal safety, security, pleasure. As David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, just one thing. Now this is a David psalm, 27. David says, one thing I desired of the Lord, which I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, that is the greatest desire and ambition of a man of God. If you know the Lord, you want to have that wonderful meeting with Him. And often, looks for the Father. Where can I find the Father? One who is saved from drowning wants to look at his Savior who saved me out of drowning. We who have been delivered out of everlasting hell, the Savior is waiting there for you in that everlasting abode, and you, like David will say, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Do you have this one thing? What is your great desire? Young people, recently married, families growing up, you gaze under the face of the child and you get all the joy and satisfaction. Looks like me. Wonderful! But David says, no. One thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. To see the beauty of the Lord, we cannot imagine. But that is waiting for you, one of the glories and mysteries still waiting for all of us who are saved. There is Jesus waiting to greet you, the one who went to the cross, who bore your sins, your griefs, and all our iniquities, to give us a hope in this everlasting dwelling place. So, think like David, think like Moses. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life for everlasting years. To have a wonderful abode today in Singapore is very expensive. Those of you who go through the en bloc, wonderful, suddenly you get $1 or $2 million. Then you look for another place like what you had. With that same money, you don't find it anymore. This is the illusion, this is the deception, this is something that is very painful to go through. But I say, dear friends, do not worry too much about what you have lost on earth, because the compensation up in heaven will more than make up all your losses on earth and your disappointments. I live in an apartment, very nice. When my wife and I moved into it about 4 years ago, we said, this shall surely be our last at our age. And so we should not own it, we will only rent it. There was a big false move. When the en bloc came, they said, you own it? I said, I don't. If you own it, you get $6.7 million. I said, I've missed something big. Have I missed something big? My dear friends, please understand, when you have God as your everlasting place, that thing fades into nothing. I thank God. I said, if God had intended for me to have it, I would have bought it. But I did not buy it. Now, I move. Where do you live? Where is your hope? Where is your ambition? My dear friends, on earth there is no security anywhere. Think through all this. Verse 1, again, you say this today when you get home, tonight. Lord, be my everlasting dwelling place, that once assured, I will have no care in this world, whether I live in HDB or private condominium or in the stone mansion. What does it matter? As long as I have the Lord as my everlasting dwelling place and my portion, I have everything. Verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, and going with Moses through the Sinai Peninsula is a great experience, because there's a rugged hills and mountains until you reach Sinai. Tall mountains. Some of you have climbed it together when we went on those Holy Land tours. So Moses writes in the context of those things. Listen. Verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you were God. You are the Creator. Long before these things that we see that are so awe-inspiring, so enormous, so tremendous, and we admire those mountains, but admire more the Lord who made the mountains. Do you have your trust in Him? Do you think of Him, meditate on Him, admire Him, worship Him, love Him, serve Him? And He is your dwelling place. If you have the Lord, you have everything. If you do not have the Lord, you have nothing. Verse 4, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. When it is past, God dwells in eternity. We live in time. What is time? Time is measured by Seiko watch or Rolex watch. And you've got to watch it carefully. And if you don't watch it carefully, you come to church late, right? And you blame the watch, you blame everything, but you don't blame yourself. Let me give you, this is not part of sermon. All my life, I put my watch 5 minutes fast. 5 minutes. Used to be 10, but now it's only 5. And you operate on that system, so that whenever, and I am one who believes in punctuality. If it is church time, 10:30, I will be here at 10:10 or 10 o'clock. Half an hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes at least. And sit quietly and thank God. So learn to value time. 1,000 years in God's sight are but nothing. God lives in eternity. We live in time, meaning to say we got to watch time all the time. And then we measure in terms of seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. So, how many years have you lived? What is your age? I used to think, truly, when I was 10, I thought, when I'm 70, there's no use to live anymore. So old, so old. And when would I ever reach 70? Suddenly, I'm 80. Then I say, hey, I'm still not so old. You see, the game of time on earth is very elusive, very, very deceptive. Very deceptive. Now, what have I got to look forward to? As I said in that little illustration, I wrote in this pamphlet, those of you who like to have one, you can see me. Listen to this. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a boy I dreamed and talked, time walked. You see, the time is getting faster now. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still, I steadily grew. Time flew. But it's the same time. How come the time crawled, then walked, then ran, then flew? Now I find as I press on, my days too short, my time almost gone. One day at last, with set of sun, eternity will have begun. Are you ready for that eternity? 1,000 years in God's sight is nothing. So pray for God's eyesight, so that you will begin to appreciate my lifespan in the context of eternity is but a drop in the ocean. Just a drop in the ocean. Then why do we do so many foolish things during this short lifetime? Why don't we live our lives with eternity in view all the time? So if you have this changed attitude and perspective, you will change your life immediately. For what do I do in 70, 80 years? I must give an account. Please understand. As it is appointed unto men to die, but after this there is judgment. Accountability. What are you doing with your days on earth, your life? 1,000 years in God's sight, but yesterday. Like a watch in the night. How much is a watch in the night? It's 3 hours. You are sentry for the night patrol in 3 hours. Okay, I'm finished. 3 hours. And your time is finished. So is our day on earth. A very, very short day. Verse 10 now. The days of a year are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is that strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. True? Never you think that, well, now I have a very settled and comfortable life. No more tent existence. True? Comparatively, yes. If you used to live in a tent, and now you can live in a great apartment, what a change! Now, listen carefully. If you think of what you are doing today in a nice apartment, compared to what is reserved for us by God in heaven, there is a difference like heaven is from hell. Please think about it. Every day, what do you do? I got to wake up. I got to clean myself. I got to go through certain motions. I got to feed myself. Then I got to go and work and get the boss to scold me. And I face many things. I drive on the road carefully, but somebody runs in my car and hits my car upside down. What's happening? I do everything right. And in the night, I get trouble. Thieves break into my house. Oh, what an existence, you say. Wonderful. I say, it's not really. When we get to heaven, you know what? You will never need to say, I'm so tired, I got to sleep. There is no tiredness in heaven. You don't have to sleep. You don't even need to think about breathing. You know this, if you are stopped from breathing for 10 minutes, you are finished. Dead already. Air, oxygen, 7 to 10 minutes, you are finished. Your brain dead already. If you do not drink for 1 week, you finished. Water, air, water. How about food? If you don't eat any food, in 1 month you're gone. And what is 1 month? My dear friends, all these things that we do today, thinking so good, is but labor and sorrow. All the things we do on earth every day, because we are accustomed to it, we do it routinely, and you think it's so good, it is not. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength there be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Today, I thank God. My prayer is like this. I say, Lord, if you have work for me, keep me going. Right? That's a good prayer. If you have more work, keep me going. And when I can't do anymore, I know my work is done. My grandfather's prayer is very different. My grandfather was my father's father, and he's a pastor. He was a pastor. And I had the blessing of living with him for 5 years. Now, at night, I get woken up by his prayer. In those days, we live in Atap House. Atap House has got no soundproof partitions. So I can hear all that he makes, the noises he makes next room. You know what? In the middle of the night, I hear loud groaning and grandfather praying, "Lord Jesus, receive my soul." And he goes on praying and groaning. Next morning, I say, "Grandfather, what were you praying about? Were you unwell that you wanted to go away?" "No," he says, "this earth is so troublesome, such a burden. I want to be with my Lord Jesus. That's why I pray." You know how long he prayed before God answered him? 13 years. All the time. He wanted to go to be with Jesus. But it doesn't mean that he sits the whole day and just waits for the call, you know. He is out preaching, witnessing, doing all that he needs to do. But his desire and dream and ambition is, the heavenly home is what I want to be. Now, let's read on. Now, our time is almost up. The days of our years are 80 years. What is your age now? Please do not just aim and have an ambition to grow and to live forever and ever. That is not a good thing. Because when you have lived 80, you look back and say, "Wow, it is all labor and sorrow, and soon it is cut off and we fly away." And then before you fly away, you ask yourself, "What have I done?" Ask yourself this question, dear friends, today. What have I done with my life? Is there a remedy? If I have been doing the wrong things, living the wrong life, is there a remedy? Answer is absolutely. All that you've been doing wrong, confess to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me. Give me a right ambition. Help me to be ambitious for your kingdom. We who have been delivered out of everlasting hell, go and get other people to be delivered out of everlasting hell with this." Some people in their lives have never given a tract out. Why? Simply because they never consider that they are privileged to do this. Go. Maybe because of you, someone will escape everlasting hellfire. Don't ever, at the end of your life, say, "Why did I live that kind of life?" Listen carefully. Verse 11, "Who knows the power of your anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." So, verse 12 is the punchline and the title of our message for today. Take it home. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need wisdom, dear friends. That is what we all need. Wisdom not how to live the earthly life, the worldly life. For that you need not the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God that you may live the godly life. And that you must pray for every day. Pray for wisdom of God, that we may number our days. Do not be like a fool. He doesn't know, he doesn't bother, he doesn't care. He just live anyhow. In the end, you come to the stage when before you breathe your last, you say, "Why did I do those things I did?" So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And when you leave this earth, what have you got to show to the Lord Jesus? A very rich man was invited by his pastor to his house. And after dinner, he began to show off his properties. He says, "Pastor, come with me to my roof garden and I'll show you." And he showed him. "Pastor, look north. All the woodlands, the great oaks and trees, all those are mine. Everything you see to the north, to the east, Look at all the oil derricks. Every time you drill a hole, out comes black gold, oil. All that's mine. Look west. All the cattle you see, thousands of cattle on that fertile grassland. That's mine. Everything is mine. Look this way. All those cornfields. Everything you see, that's mine. Everything is mine. Wonderful. The pastor says, congratulations. But let me ask you one question. You say north, south, east, west, all yours. How about up here? What have you got up there? Oh, I never thought. How old are you? 70. How many more days do you think you are going to live? Oh, I don't know. Never thought of it. I'm just thinking to buy up the next piece, my neighbor's land, to acquire more. And God says, you fool. Tonight your soul will be required of you. Teach us to number our days. Who knows when God will call? Have you numbered your days? Do you know when God is going to call you? Are you ready, dear friends? As we depart from here, and before I close with prayer, you ask yourself, how many years have I lived, and how many more years do I think I can live? And ask yourself honestly what you will do with your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, teach us. We who have received salvation by grace through faith, freely, may Thou speak to our hearts and convict us of the sin of being a silent witness, never ever saying a word for our Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, change our attitude, change our lives, that others may see Jesus in us, and they may hear about the Lord Jesus from us, and that one day it may be that in heaven we will see some who will say, thank you for telling me. O Lord, move Thy people, that teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.